Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Health Innovation East Midlands podcast. Today, we'll be exploring what it takes to turn clinical insight into sustainable innovation through the story of Chat Health, a digital messaging service developed and owned by an NHS trust. It's celebrating 10 years and has been successfully adopted across the UK, benefiting millions of people. I'm Tim Robinson, Commercial Director at Health Innovation East Midlands, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Caroline Palmer and David Williams from Leicester Partnership Trust to talk about NHS entrepreneurship and how to get it right. David, Caroline, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Tim. Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Palmer. I'm the clinical lead for the Digital Health Transformation Service, and I've been part of the Chat Health journey since it very began back in 2012, 2013, which then led to our scaling nationally.
Thanks, Caroline. Hi, Tim. Hi, everybody. I'm David Williams. I'm Group Director for Strategy and Partnerships here at Leicestershire Partnership Trust. I've been the Exec Director with the portfolio responsibility for Chat Health and other things for about 5 years. So not as long as Caroline's been involved in it, but a good time to see it develop and build across the country.
So, Caroline, how did Chat Health come about and why was it established and who does it help?
So it really has been a journey. So where we started out is definitely not where we are today with Chat Health in terms of its audience. So we started down the road of Chat Health because we were having young people, particularly at the time, want to reach out to school nurses in a way that really felt comfortable to them. So at the time, the option for seeking support from a school nurse was to go and see one face to face. So young people were feeding back that sometimes felt a bit intense, you know, that sort of process of, oh, I've got to actually take the step forward to make the appointment. I've got to then, people might ask me why I want to see somebody if it was making it through school, etc. So young people were feeding back to school nurses that they wanted to reach out confidentially, but really importantly, obviously, anonymously if they wanted to, if that was a choice, and in an easy and accessible way. School nurses initially felt quite anxious about that because it was a new way of working. We'd had a few sort of trials of different ways of using messaging with young people, but it did literally mean a handset and, you know, a work phone at that point. Young people also used to talk about hiding behind the screen, so we felt that we could maybe open up, reach to young people that wouldn't reach out, but also they would ask us things that they maybe wouldn't ask us face to face. So it was never about a replacement of face-to-face care. It was always about that blended approach and increasing reach and access.
I was just going to say, Caroline, that hiding behind the screen point that you made, I just think is so important about how it helps people. And I sat there and thought, really, if you listen to this podcast or you're just going about daily life, we are using our phones all of the time. I'm far too old now that if I needed to use a phone, it was connected by a wire to the wall of my house. And if I'd wanted to get some health advice, it would have been a telephone call in the kitchen with my mum and dad listening to it. But that anonymity of hiding behind a screen, everybody's texting, everybody's sending messages, whether you're on the bus on the way to school, at home, and that ability to get help without being that person trying to make a telephone call in the kitchen with everybody around the house. So I just think opens up the opportunity for help to people in so much more of a way. And also for people, as you said, who didn't find the going and talking to somebody a really scary or nervous or anxiety raising experience. So I think those sorts of things are what's really helped Chat Health go forward and develop, because it's providing a way to get help in a way that just didn't really exist before.
And I think that's was a few things there. So yeah, phone ownership is prolific, isn't it? Pretty much majority of the population have gotten. So it means it's really easily accessible for us as services to reach out to them. You know, we're getting to the service users directly. No longer are we thinking we'll put this poster up here and advertise this service. When we started this journey, we were giving business cards out. We were putting posters up in schools. That was, you know, a bane of my life when we first started this. But now we're using different means. So we are using Snapchat, etc. But also, just to kind of touch on the point of the, again, the hiding behind the screen, that isn't just young people. That is parents and carers of new babies that have got fear of judgment for reaching out. That is clients that want to access sexual health services that have probably been Googling symptoms and got massive anxiety around what they want to seek support about. So are actually quite, you know, fearful about being judged again or asking those questions and being identified. It's all of our services, you know, crisis mental health services. It just feels comfortable for some people, and that might be the way that they can reach out. Quite often a conversation might start anonymously, but then it will lead to that rapport building, that relationship building, and then somebody saying, actually, I do feel comfortable to tell you who I am. But in answer to your question, Tim, about where are we at now, I kind of just alluded, Chat Health is now not only being used by school nurses with young people, it's being used by health visitors with parents and carers of under fives. It's being used by sexual health services. It's being used by crisis mental health services. It's being used by, you know, specialist teams such as autism, ADHD. The crux of it is, if there's a need to reach out directly to service users and messaging feels like a good platform and a good medium to deliver that, then Chat Health is a safe, secure and NHS assured platform to do it via.
So you said that kind of, from what you've said, you set out to solve a problem for you. At what point did you think, hang on, we could turn this into something bigger? It's more than, I mean, other people have got this same problem. How did that come about? Because it didn't sound like you set off to be an NHS entrepreneur, but that is effectively where you're at. You've got an internal business that runs within an NHS structure. So just really interesting to kind of explore how that evolved from the initial kind of, oof, let's solve this problem.
I think because of the networks that we have within school nursing, we got sort of talking to the School Nurse Association, Public Health Nurse Association, SAPNA. So we started conversations with them around like, what do other areas have issues with? Like what are other areas doing? What issues are they facing? And it was the same. And we've got the same governance issues, as in there's nothing off the shelf that we'd want to use. What can we do? So it started small, but then word kind of spread and we built that national.
And I think, Caroline, that governance was one of the really important bits, because it was good that actually we were managing it inside the NHS. We'd got the approvals and the ways of working inside the NHS, which meant that other organisations could quickly understand it, quickly grasp it. And I think one of the other things that had made a really big difference is this wasn't something we were doing to make huge great profits or ways of going. There is a surplus that comes back in. It isn't huge. But actually, this is about, do we share that technology? And as such, it's using a bit of social enterprise way of working, developing and taking stuff forward. And I suppose from our perspectives, for too long, you can find in the NHS something good in this organisation over here, and it doesn't get shared and it doesn't get used. And somebody else has got to go and reinvent it or buy it from a different provider. And our view was, right, how do we open this up? How do we make sure that everybody can participate in it? And we thought that would be a good way forward.
So I suppose, kind of keen to explore. So in the UK, a trust developing and owning an innovation rather than taking the traditional kind of commercial route is not a very well trodden path. I just wondered if you've got any thoughts on why you think that is.
It's painful.
and I think that's fair, isn't it, Caroline? It takes a long time to get through the approvals, to work through everything, to share it. And as public servants, we're so focused on delivering services to a local population and a way of thinking things through. Sometimes it takes a little bit more to lift ourselves up and to say, but how do we make this work for others? How do we take it through? It's got an element of risk in it. because it's not a directly commissioned service, whereas, you know, for NHS care in England, there is a commissioner saying, I will give you this much money, but I want you to deliver X, Y outcomes. Here, we were saying, actually, if we start expanding this, if we build it, more people will come to us. And that wasn't guaranteed. So I think there are elements of risks in it. I think one of the problems about the NHS is we are, or one of the challenges, the problem is very much the wrong word. One of the challenges is that we're naturally risk averse. We take great pride in managing patients' data and being really, really clear about how we'll do it. And obviously, when you're going into a chat health service, which enables multiple organizations to be able to work things through and understand stuff and access their own patients, you've got lots of complexity. So I'd agree with Caroline. It's hard. It was difficult. But I'd say it was really worth doing. And I think far better than just trying to buy a product off a shelf that was delivered by somebody else.
I think the difference as well is that LPT had kind of the foresight to think, if we invest in it. So I was school nursing at the time when I, you know, started being involved in the project. And so I was working in a school nursing team, but they saw, actually, she can't do it alongside a day job. Let's do a bit alongside a day job for a period of time. But they invested then in sort of secondment positions and sort of my time to then, you know, it started off with, you know, only a couple of us, but then it grew. And now we've got a team of 10 of us. But it was about them actually thinking, right, if we invest in it properly, it will be done properly. And you can kind of see that now when we work with other organisations that if they engage their team properly and they are well led, they have a really successful implementation. It's the ones where it's like, that's a nice to have, do it alongside this while you've got everything else going on. We make the implementation process as straightforward and simple as possible for a joining organisation. But I think you still have to have a degree of investment, but I think that's where LPT kind of thought, you know, if we invest now, then we will get a better outcome for kind of LLR at the time, but then also we could how we can scale that nationally.
Yes, so just to explore that a bit further, so what would you say kind of are the systems or culture or leadership approaches that allowed Chat Health to succeed as an internal NHS commercial enterprise? So because I've just kind of, I think people would be interested to kind of understand, well, what are the conditions that allow that to happen rather than not happen? You know what I mean? Because there are lots of people in the NHS that have great ideas and struggle to kind of get their organization support to take them forward. So not all ideas are good, by the way, but it kind of just, I'm just kind of curious as to, you know, yeah. David, what do you think was kind of there made that happen?
I think what was clear as I came in, so 5 years into Chat Health and a way of working, what was clear was in the formation of it and the development of it, LPT was willing to give it space to develop, to take it forward and see how people like Caroline would lead it and develop it. So I think there was an element of trust in people like Caroline as our leaders who understood the concept and would be able to commercialize it. So I think hopefully, Caroline, we gave you space and I think potentially still do try and give you space and support to look at things so that you don't get sucked in, I suppose, as you were saying earlier, into being a school nurse, delivering a service and trying to develop other stuff in your part-time. We've given you space to develop that properly.
Obviously, there's kind of lots of reasons why you've done what you do. So what would you see as being the key challenges and advantages of keeping the innovation within an NHS organisation rather than it being a commercially led endeavor?
We do love bureaucracy. We are good at that. And I'd go, and that's difficult. It's taxpayers' money. We've got to make things work really, really well. But sometimes we're not quite as speedy. That'd be fair as a challenge, Caroline.
Yeah. And I think we're quite realistic of that. And it's even when you're realistic and you're in the system and you have your own delays and issues, like, it's still extremely frustrating. But yeah, I think it's our USP though. I think it's why organisation is kind of like a bit of a stamp, trusted stamp that we've got, in terms of, I think it's why organisations want to partner with us. And also we talk their language, we understand what they'll need from us. So we're often, we can preempt the blockers and barriers they're going to face and give them the tools to be equipped to manage that. So we can speed things up. I think we've got our implementation process now down to something like 5 to 6 weeks, which it used to take a lot longer. But a lot of that is because we know what we're going to get asked, we know what people need, and we know what assurances we need to give. So I think the fact that we're an NHS organisation partnering with other NHS organisations is our USP. And actually, it's something that I'm really proud of, because we've kept the innovation in the NHS, and we are, you know, we're growing our own, and that's what it should be about.
Oh, Caroline, I'm really glad you said that you were proud of it, because I was going to come in and go, I am really proud of Chat Health. I think the chat services, the range that we offer and the way of going, it makes a difference to people. For too long, organisations like the NHS expect people to fit a process and a workflow that we would like to run. Offering these services means that people can come and access services in a way that works for them. And I'm really proud that the NHS is doing that and changing. And I think it does make a big difference to people day in, day out.
Yeah, I mean, there's recently been an update to the guidance and support for NHS organisations about how they generate and manage IP. And this feels like a great example that's kind of already embodying that kind of approach. You know what I mean? Congratulations, you're ahead of national policy, which is always good. And on this journey, you've had a close relationship with what was East Midlands Academic Health Science Network, and now is Health Innovation East Midlands. This is not a fishing trip, but just kind of what impact do you think that's had? I mean, just interested for people to be able to share that and understand.
So I think that it's been an evolving relationship that we've had with Health Innovation East Midlands. So I think at the beginning, it was very much a bit of a mentorship, and does this sound like a good idea? Like, do you think this is what we should do? And helping with that sort of business model, structure, pricing, you know, licensing scales. Where do we pitch it, or how do we how do we get the interest and growth outside of LPT? So I think if we hadn't built that initial relationship, I think that was a real sort of catalyst for the start of our growth and scale. And if we hadn't built that relationship with Health Innovation East Midlands, I think we'd be in a very different place now, and not scaled at the rate we have, or have the spread that we've got. But then it became also, the relationship then kind of evolved into opening doors for us. So, you know, we've been part of the NHS Accelerator Innovation Programme, the NHS Clinical Entrepreneurs Programme. So those sorts of doors and growing within, you know, knowledge across the network, that was kind of the next stage. And then now it's about this sort of advisory role, and there's still that ongoing sort of support of how we can continue to do what we're doing. So it was kind of like, how do you do it, and how can we continue to do it? How can we make sure it continues to be a success?
I think we've moved into kind of like a critical friend relationship. the support that Health Innovation East Mids provides, reminds us about keeping that focus on that commercial bit, keeps a focus on making sure that we're thinking of new stuff, creating, as you say, some links and some ways forward. And I'd agree with you, it's evolved over time. And I think throughout that, it's probably been lovely for Health Innovation East Mids to see us grow and develop in that same way. And it's been great to have that changing relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been great to kind of be part of the journey. And I mean, I think the relationship changes. We now are using Caroline and the teams to say, oh, we've seen this innovation. They're looking for some kind of insight, help kind of around how they might go about things. Would you mind having a conversation with them?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the teams now kind of becoming advisory in its own right, rather than being the person that's being advised. So I think there's been a, you know what I mean, there's been a change of the, you know what I mean, the experience that you've got in there is kind of critical to the success.
I think as well, this probably sounds a bit overconfident, but I totally believe in it, to be honest, that we know, and I can hand on heart say that we have got a good quality blueprint for implementing innovation into the NHS. So again, it's about how we can share that knowledge. It's not just about how we share the technology, it's about, you know, part of doing this today, how can we share and impart our knowledge to others so that we can help that growth within the system as well.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, it's not my quote. Somebody said it to me, the NHS doesn't buy technology, it buys solutions to problems. So, from the work that I've seen, it solves a real problem in a practical way, and it's got the right resources and knowledge to make sure it gets implemented swiftly and efficiently, and people benefit from it quickly. So that's what we all want when we're taking something new. We don't want it to be a long, painful process. We want that confidence that somebody can say, well, we know this, not because we know it, but we can prove that we know it, and that we've walked that walk a few times, and that really comes through in the way that you approach things. At your recent user conference that I attended, the vibe that was in the room around people there was that this is kind of an integral way to the way that they work. And I think there were some great ideas coming out of that year about where things could go in the future, which is a neat segue in, really. I was kind of going to ask you around that. So 10 years, looking backwards, we've talked about that. Looking forwards, what does the next 10 years look like for Chat Health?
Hopefully a really positive, bright future is the way we're thinking of and planning things. And it, Caroline talked right at the very beginning and just reflected. So we grew out of school nursing, Caroline's skills as a school nurse and understanding a need there. And as Caroline said, we've taken that and we've moved through into other services. So services for people who are neurodiverse, sexual health services, and really sitting there and going, where there are opportunities for people to have conversations that can be safely, clinically done well via messaging, there's the opportunities for us. So we are doing work around crisis mental health and providing other opportunities at the moment. You know, an option on 111. If you're feeling as though your mental health is low and you are in crisis, you need help, you can phone 111. But actually providing people with an opportunity to text and have that conversation is another way of engaging with people. So I think there's lots of different opportunities. Technology moves forward. So, I mean, we've talked all the way through today about texting. Well, actually, many of us don't send text messages anymore. We use lots of different media. So keeping up with technology, finding different ways of working, that's all got to be part of the future. That'd be my thoughts. Caroline, anything you wanted to add?
I think it's just to continue to be stick with our core values. And that is about the good practice sharing, the network building, the quality conversations. You know, it's giving the tools to the practitioners as well as the good service to the service users. So it's making sure that we keep sighted on our, you know, core values, and we are very much so, and we always have been, and we will continue to be so. And you know, it's what gets us out of bed in the morning. My team, it's our why, you know, because we know we're having such massive impacts across the country.
And I think anybody listening to this conversation hopefully will have picked up the kind of the words that I wrote down was the passion about the purpose and a really strong ethos and culture about the way that you do things. And it stood you in good stead for the last 10 years. And so it's kind of creates a really solid foundation for the next 10 years. It's not about the technology. It's about how you address the problem and the challenge and provide something that people want to use. And all too often companies can get hung up on, well, is it this or is it that? And they talk about their solution in terms of the technology that it's based on, not the benefit and impact that it brings. But I don't think anybody listening today would kind of hear anything other than it's about what we do, not how we do, and the model that we use rather than the technology that we deploy.
And I think as well, it never felt too risky because I just believed in it so much and I still believe in it so much. And I think I have seen the most heartwarming conversations happen in chat health. I have seen the most heartwarming feedback that you would ever get. And as a nurse, that's why I get out of bed in the morning, because that's, you know, that's what makes me want to do the job that I do. And I'm really lucky in my role that I don't just do that in LPT. I get to support teams to do that across the whole country.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, if you are, you know, I mean, Chat Health has allowed you to have an influence on people far beyond Leicestershire. And I think that that is a great thing to kind of be proud about and shout about. There's not enough. We as NHA within the NHS, we kind of often the news is all about the negative things, and there are so many positive things that just don't get talked about. And hopefully today's conversation means that people have heard some real positive things and they think, you know what I mean, they can grab hold of something and that might influence them or inspire them to do something different within their own service. Take a chance, take a risk in a controlled and appropriate way, and be brave. So on that, if another trust was looking to replicate the success of Chat Health with their own in-house innovation, what would you say are your top three tips that you would give an advice to them? And I'll be really fair here, you can have three each, or you can have three between you, whichever you fancy.
I'll probably come up with about 10, so you'll have to stop me talking in a minute. So I think it is about being clinically led. So if I think about how we engaged services and people, it was them hearing from me as a nurse and understanding the situation and being realistic. So I think getting clinicians, whatever it may be, get clinicians involved from the very beginning, get them around the table, don't make them bring their own seat. Give them a seat at the table, you know, make that space for them, and keep them engaged as well. They'll understand the issue and understand it from both sides, service user and service. So and also they don't like, the clinicians don't like being done to, do they? So, you know, we don't like to be told this is what's happening. They like to be part, you know, at the party. So get them involved from the very beginning, hear their views, listen to their views and value their views, would be one thing. So that kind of links to the engagement, but also really strong leadership, I think, is really important. As I said, touched on before, our really well-engaged and well-led teams are really successful. And then probably we talked again earlier about it, about being a bit realistic in terms of what you can achieve with what capacity. And so, again, don't oversell and underdeliver. If you feel, you know, if you're trying to do something alongside your day job, then be quite realistic about what you can achieve with the time that you've got. I'll stop there.
Yeah, and I think Caroline, that's a great summary. I think you've got to have a kind of holy trinity of really strong clinical engagement and understanding with that realism of perseverance, investing time, and add to that leadership and trust. And you bring those three together, and that creates a really good way forward. If you've only got one of those three elements, you might have great leadership, but you won't then have a product that works clinically. Or if you haven't got the perseverance, it will fail. So I think it's, you're right, bringing those three things together is really important.
I mean, some fantastic insights there from people that have been on this journey. They're not talking from a textbook, they're talking from lived experience. And that really comes through. It's been a fantastic conversation. If there's anything you've heard and you want to reach out to Caroline and David, I'm sure they'd be happy to talk to you about their journey. And they'd equally be happy to talk to you about expanding their services into your service. That, you know what I mean? If you're only doing school nursing, then you heard David give you a list of at least six other services that you could be using the clinically validated blueprint to deliver into. And if you've heard anything that you think health, you've got anything that you think Health Innovation East Midlands can help with, then get in touch with us. We'll be putting links below alongside this podcast, so that you know how to get in touch. Finally from me, I wanted to say, well, not quite finally, say a big thank you to Caroline and David for conversation today. Kind of really enjoyed the talk and hearing the passion and the realism come through. And finally, thank you for listening.